already. So let's go ahead and establish a quorum. Start with state name.
Russ Smith is here.
Douglas Ford.
Tom Weller.
Linda Johnston.
Bill Saunders.
Arlo Verding. Okay, I think we have a quorum. So Ben, would you like to lead us in pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Has everyone had a chance to review the meeting minutes? Question? Final page. Rick Allen, city recorder, is that correct?
I'm the recorder too.
Okay, didn't know that. I'll make a motion to accept the amendments as presented.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Not that that's what I wanted.
That's a new title, and I need to make sure you're getting paid for that.
Well, I know. I could line up finance manager all up there, except Ashley's doing most of it.
How many hats do you wear?
Just one at a time.
Yeah.
Project updates. So we're on engineering selection.
So we'll just kind of move down through some of these, and you guys ask questions as we go. We do, actually, we could add to the agenda just when we're down here. It really doesn't matter. But Joe's going to talk about an update on our TSP, which is not online. Okay, engineering selection process. We did hire, or we chose, we had a committee of two of you and one and a half of you.
Don't get started, okay?
But Bill came to both of the meetings, and Doug slept through one. But
I take it as a fifth.
Yes, we did interview engineers for
what?
All the kind of sidewalk projects around town. You guys have prioritized sidewalks here and there, and also some lighting projects.
Mm-hmm.
So we need someone to kind of look at some of that. And obviously, this project has to be engineered. So we went through a thing. We had about five companies for the sidewalk types. They like that more because they go out. It's not just planning, they're actually out there doing something. But for some reason, more companies were interested in that. But Century West is the recommended unanimous for that particular section. Now then, the city, we have to negotiate a contract because under the way that was all done, it's the second process is the contract, i.e. that's how much they're going to charge. And then if you don't reach agreement with them, then we would go to number two, which is Hickman and Williams. A firm out of them if Century West gets greedy. Then, so we've already met though, we walked the streets, some of the areas, Finley Butte, we were up there, we did from Crescent Creek down to Bimart, and then of course this out here. And you know, so they get an idea of the scope of work, because that all fits into the, you know, the contract we'll sign with them. I think we have a good handle on that. So the council tomorrow night will recommend that we hire them pending the contract. So they'll get to work right away. Then the second piece of that was water over around basically Mid-State up in Industrial Park to loop it. And that was, and the other one is a sewer pump station, Wikia type stuff, all underground piping type engineering. And there only two companies put in on that. And we selected Anderson Perry, based out of LaGrand, and they came in second. Or you could say they came in last.
Why did you select?
One could say.
Why did you select number two as opposed to number one?
Now say that again.
Didn't you just say you selected the number two?
Oh, well, they were two different projects. So they are doing the sidewalk projects. And the sewer water lines is going to be Anderson Perry.
Oh.
Two different.
Okay. I misunderstood what you said.
Yeah, there were two different actual RFQs. that went out. And one of the thoughts was, since city has not used an engineer, was this gives us a chance to kind of work with two different companies. You know, they all have their own style and how well it all works. So over time, we'll come up with kind of preferred engineers. And Anderson Perry, the owner, Mr. Baird, called me yesterday, and he's going to be here tomorrow. Yeah. So we'll be meeting, and they'll start on that, kind of looking into that project. Same thing, he's got to call the scope of work, then we'll negotiate kind of the cost. So you'll be legitimately seeing Century West here now. So you're not just a guest. You'll be an employee. So anyway, that's Bill, what did you think? Anything to add on?
Well, I think the selection process went great. And fair.
Okay. This project out front, so we will get started right away, right?
That's right.
Yeah. That's going to be tight, as you well know. It will not be able to probably get done by September. I think the contract supposedly is like September 30th or something, but that won't happen since it is June 8th, 11th, and we haven't even, there's just no way. But that's okay. ODOT said that's fine. Basically, if you're working on it moving forward, it's not going to be. But we do want to have it done. Our goal would be to have it done before winter. So they should be able to. Let's see. Any questions on that? I mean, they're going to come. They'll come here, and we'll have a report from them and stuff. Once they get into it, and what we're going to work on, what it's going to look like. All that kind of stuff. It'll be 5 feet from the corner down, and out here. About some point, it will kind of switch out to 8 feet, getting a city width, and we'll have. This is a big, long, straight stretch. You don't want that, so it'll have a little. Some curve in it a little bit that's aesthetically pleasing for people that are walking and things. And of course, we have lots of room here. We'll end up working on lights. We'll work on the trees and the bushes and all those things, because as we said last time, this is the template for First Street then. So we've got to make sure that we get this right.
I just want to add something. My previous experience on some boards, and I know that this isn't your fault, but I think it would behoove us to go get bids for something like this, either in the fall or the winter when contractors are more hungry for a project that comes about in the spring, summer, or early fall.
Yeah.
I was with other organizations and we did this, and it's amazing the type of bid you got either in early winter or late winter as opposed to getting it now.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I think they're building projects for the next year, maybe. In November, December, they're
exactly.
Bidding because that's their next year's projects. Right. Right now, they're already kind of booked. This is pretty small. This will be under $100,000. So in the contract world, it hopefully will get some of the smaller folks. But you're right.
Yeah.
I think that's.
So Rick, one question for you. We had that successful STIP application. One of the pieces was, of course, the sidewalks on 97 on the west side. And then it was going to be one of the flashing beacons here at 6th and a crossing. And I'm not sure how those sidewalks might tie in or support that crossing. But just thinking through that too when you guys are looking at the scope. I mean, if there's some way to help accommodate that flashing beacon, yes. Whatever it takes.
Are these the user activated?
Yes.
They come on only when they're going to be used, like on
yes.
The parkway?
Exactly.
Like okay,
those.
Good.
Well, that's something, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that would all be thought about, but so far my experience with people thinking about something down is not all that.
We have work with Tom. Tom's a stellar engineer.
No, it's not him. It's ODOT. Realizing that they're funding this, then they're going to fund that, and you'd want to make this big.
Right.
So you're going to have a bulb out or something. I'll bet you they'll build this.
I'm just thinking curb ramps and stuff like that. Any kind of
And that's one of the things when we said that, right, the proposal too, that we know how much work's gone in on the Kittleson side. That's a phone call and a meeting waiting to happen. There's a good coordination there. Make sure that we follow along with that TSP. It's like you've said yourself, Rick, you don't have all these great plans on the shelf, and you got to make sure they don't collect dust, you use them.
We don't want the same thing happening here as what's happening in Bend with the ADA projects. Exactly. Putting a sidewalk in and then going jackhammered out because you didn't put it in right to begin with.
Yeah. Well, this will be ADA for sure.
Absolutely.
Not even a question, but it's what I think they're saying is if you're going to have a bulb out because you're going to narrow, you know, what you would do normally to, you know, all of that, wiring underneath it for that, I don't think. But that's a very good point.
That's why we're making the big bucks.
Yeah. But what we can't do is add 10, 20 grand onto this project.
Right.
Right. Because of, see, that's...
Right.
It may mean you don't touch that north corner and wait for that and just accommodate, make sure that the south corner is ready for the north corner, but you just don't touch the north corner.
Okay.
Because we see that in the city of Bend too, where we have a project going, but the city comes through and there's no communication on the city side. So they'll sweep through and they'll tear out a curb ramp that's ready for design.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, you have to redo the work, or you undo the work that just got done. So, that's coordination that's down the road, definitely. And that's a pretty easy conversation for us to have.
Is the flagpole project with the front?
That's a we haven't gotten into flagpoles.
Oh,
that's not. I mean, the state was a sidewalk project. They're not into. Flagpoles in part of
it. Are we putting any sort of holder in this concrete floor flagpoles? Or are we thinking that far ahead?
Oh, you're talking about just the little.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're talking about?
No, they're going into the snowplow.
Oh, great. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we haven't. We have not gotten into those details.
Okay.
But that's, we have thought about that, and we have to be a little, think that up all through, how many and how often and where. And, but, you know, we were talking about the things for the yellow little markers for the snow plows, you see the curves, those kind of things. It's the same principle.
Yes, yes.
And you can do that. You'd have to sleep with steel and everything because, you know, there's more wind on a flagpole than you realize. He's, of course, talking about a monument city flagpole, which is not part of this project.
Okay.
Finley Butte. We went up there and looked, and he's gonna give us a little pricing on what they think it would cost up there. We're just at this point where I guess I call that our third priority for the sidewalks in this between here and Huntington here and then over there. That's probably needs a little more discussion in general about where you're going and what you're doing. You don't just go plop sidewalks out there. And otherwise, if you have lots of money, you go do it, but otherwise it's, you know, Bill's made some good points about the sun's on the, obviously, that side, the north side, you know, it's getting, and this side shaded because of all the fences and the trees, so therefore it's snowier, and when you're out, there's very obvious. We were standing actually in the shade on this side, and the other side had sun on it. You cannot walk on a sidewalk from downtown to get out there. So, and you know, while there are some subdivisions out there, it would appear that, you know, the bulk of the people come with in cars. You know, there's some bicycling, obviously, but to just go throw a sidewalk around and at this point is. And we stood there and looked at it, and yeah, you can do it. Not sure what you're really gaining at right now. That's a preliminary. We need to go, and the money involved in it. You know, I think they had the budget like $5,000 or something. Well, you're not going to go out there and pour sidewalks around Finley Butte for $5,000. So it's just.
You mean the park?
Yeah,
or the park. Just the, would that going? Is that, could that be incorporated to Ashton Eaton Stadium that's going up there?
Anything could.
You know something I don't?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ashton Eaton's corporation has, the last I heard, going to redoing that softball field.
I didn't know they were putting a stadium in. I knew.
Well, ma'am.
I knew they were going to help redo the ball fields.
But I thought it was just top of the line and everything was going to be great and bleachers and everything.
Never
you were going to do sidewalks too.
Maybe that's semantics. Bleachers are a stadium. but yeah, it's just that in this project we're looking at right now, it's just it's a little, he's going to give us an idea of what it would cost to put the sidewalks out there.
One thought I'm thinking of, you said, you know, most people commute by cars. maybe there's a reason they commute by cars, because there's no sidewalks.
Oh, I agree.
You know, maybe if there were sidewalks, we'd see more bicycles and pedestrian traffic. And it would be nice, I think, from maybe mid-state to downtown Lapine to have a sidewalk along there.
Well, there is on the other side, at least for part of it.
Part of that.
That's why it's just, everything you're saying is true, but we have very limited money, and there is a sidewalk on the north side across from Findlay View. So, you know, are we going to go take one block and have sidewalk on two sides when we have stuff all over where there's no sidewalks? A person can get to Findlay View Park on sidewalks, except we're talking just around, but once you get into the park, the kid usually, I mean, I was out there, you just get your bike, you just bike into wherever you're going.
But I think, too, if those were really safe to come across, all the kids that live in all the subdivisions, I think, would be coming. I kind of agree that most people, but right, maybe they could use, you know, Huntington Meadow has full of kids, and I would think that if it was safe for them to walk up to the park, parents would, I would like to think, walk or bike instead of bringing their cars.
Especially in the late spring, summer, and early fall.
Right.
But I realize the money
well,
is not there.
The money,
so.
You know, the hardest thing that the Lapine and everyone does on the community, you hate to make a list. And see what happens is if you're third, you think, well, it's not important and your points aren't. No, everything you say is right, but not everything can be number one.
Right. Right.
So, or else you'll go through what you just did for the last year. Nothing will ever get built because everything needs to be done. You have to just start doing some of them.
Yeah.
And when you walk around Findlay Butte, of the projects we looked at, that has to be third in my mind looking at this at this point. And the other thing is, it's we'll get down to the maintenance side of it, but as again, he's down looking at some other sidewalks to talk about the bumps on. You can't walk down the sidewalks we have, and what I'm trying to do is to get people to start thinking more in, you know, it's just kind of like Ashton-Eaton Boulevard. Where's Ashton-Eaton Boulevard? Where's the signs? It's this thing we go, right, so everyone gets into these things and you go do it. You do the ribbon cutting or the cake event. Months later, there's not an Ashton-Eaton sign up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, we've built sidewalks that you can't walk down because the trees and the bushes have overgrown them all. And so you have to sometimes take a step back. Let's take care of the sidewalks we've already built. Let's go back and get them all edged, trimmed to where you can walk down. So
I agree with you.
You know,
yeah. Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah. But we are going to get a price out of this.
Okay, we'll figure that out.
Huntington Road. That is going to go from Crescent Creek. Basically, their sidewalk there, they have a trail. We'll go Crescent Creek into town, and we're working with Little Deschutes Lodge. The mayor, actually, right now is at the senior center at their board meeting, and Kathy. So we have two councilmen down there meeting with the seniors. And the sidewalk will go in front of that. It's going to be a jointly funded project. Little Deschutes will pay for the part in front of them. The senior center, I met with the county. The county's going to pay for the senior center section. And then the city will get one on each side. And so there'll be three funding sources, and you'll be able to go from Crescent Creek, tie into the Bi-Mart sidewalk, and then you basically can.
Okay, good.
And Rick, on that, you mentioned something about lighting.
Yes.
So while they're putting that in, they're going to put in a conduit for.
It hasn't been engineered yet.
For lighting in the future.
Yes. Some yes, some no.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I can't. With all of that, will be. I'm not going to pre-plan the project sitting here today, but you're right. There is lighting contemplated in parts of that. How much detail do you want to go into here? We talked about the. And I have street lighting on the agenda.
Right.
But if we want, we could just. We met with Mid-State, And you guys did a nice map, and I'm gonna, before we, I'll send out to you, but kind of, you guys had a 16, you know, there was like 18.
We had a multi.
There was quite a few.
Yes. Yep.
On there. And we will, so we went and, like this project has some, the Huntington project had some. So we met with Mid-State and kind of eyeballed where some of this could work and where it won't. And timing wise, like we took out the ones down at First Street, you had like one down that way, because they're, next year they're redoing that. So we don't want to put in a, like, it has to be torn out, that type of thing. So the plan right now is that we kind of tentatively agreed to for lights would be a couple of them down to your entrances to Crescent Creek, which were on your list.
Mm-hmm.
And those will be just mounted out there, and they'll be direct wired into the Mid-State system, right?
Right.
And then as you get into town by the senior center, we would start to put our decorative pole that you have on Huntington. Acorn. Mm-hmm. So we'll have one on the corner there, at least at the senior center. So that's the dividing line, kind of your commercial end.
Okay.
Would be the senior center. And that, and then when you go senior center and out
north,
then that's more your residential, darker, mm-hmm. different kinds of lights. It's not part of your downtown. The lights they put up will be something like that that lights up. You've got higher speeds, you're out in the open road, you know, as you're kind of coming into town, then you switch.
Nice.
So we're coming up with kind of a standard that would have street lights down. You're basically going to have a street light in culture 97 corridor would be one kind of, and be more decorative, but different than Huntington downtown,
right,
which is the Acorn. And then you'd have what we call subdivision light, which is more, you know, that you're going to find on roads. So a downtown light, a 97 light, and then everything else. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then we come up with kind of a thing. So when a contractor comes in to build a subdivision or do something, we can say they build it. They put them in as part of it.
Exactly.
And it's all done.
But they will know the type of lighting that we want in certain areas.
Yeah. Now we got to work through, is it a, you know, a wood pole, a metal pole, or is it stainless chrome looking pole? There's one down at First Street that someone put in that's green in front of the fire station.
Yep.
Some of those things, that's all will get worked out. But
so Rick, on that one too, so the number two STIP project, the 2016 to 2018 year, was that trail then from Crescent Creek all the way up through Wickiup.
Right.
And that had the bollard style lighting, the pedestrian scale. So that trail then is going to connect in with that new trail. So you get all the way from the downtown toward Wickiup.
Yes.
So nice.
Are those going to be a solar light then on the bollards?
I don't think they've decided any of that. I don't think they have any design details.
Okay.
I don't
okay.
think they have any specs. All I know is it was supposed to be pedestrian scale lighting for safety and security.
And I'd caution away from the solar lighting, even though there's no cost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the power, there's costs associated with the battery system that has to go in and
right.
Big upfront cost on those lights.
Right.
So you end up with a high maintenance cost on those down the road.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's good to know.
I mean, they'll work, but eventually someone's got to replace batteries, so that becomes a maintenance issue for Scott.
I know I've seen vandalism on a lot of those pedestrian scale bollards on almost every trail I've been to. So maybe those stout kids, whether it's in the old mill or up in Vancouver, I mean, they get destroyed.
Because they jump
on the bike path of the river.
Too. Yep.
So you're talking about just short bollard or
that was the application, but I don't think there's any specificity at all.
City of Sisters has a really nice path in right now with bollards. They're really stout. The circular bollards come up and they've got the three gills around the top. It's really durable. It looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we kind of envision, I think, of those stout.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Vandalism resistant bollards.
So the other, and then we are going to light up Finley Butte.
Yes.
Finley View, from existing poles, because there's poles on it, and there the discussion is that basically the they give us a $1,250 credit per light, and that's about what these kind of lights, if it's on an existing pole, so there's virtually no capital cost. And so we're going to, again, this is all kind of, that would be your first lit street in town, kind of like that, other than Huntington. So we would just start right down here at Huntington and the highway, and then every corner, working their way down to Mid-State with a couple in between on a long block. So then again, it's getting to the park, so it's lit when it gets dark at 4:30 in the winter. And there, all we'll have to do is budget, make sure we obviously budget for the monthly, and it'll be $9.50 a month per light. There'll be about seven or eight lights, so about $1,000, $1,200, $1,300 a year to do that street. And then we talked about putting one at Finley View right down, so that it, the entrance going down, but parking lot's dark down there. Okay. And we're not in the business of lighting up the Parks District's parking lots, but we'll at least put one in the entrance, so that
they're on Walling Lane.
Yes.
Oh, nice. I'm going to talk with Bob and see what we can do at the park in regards to maybe either partnering with somebody or working on getting something proposed in the near future.
That's a dark parking lot.
Oh, it is. It's very, very.
I've been there to some meetings that come out. And I'm like,
yep. Yeah.
And then.
So we'll work with the park district on it.
Okay.
Then the last one is Huntington Meadows. We went over and looked at corners over there, and I think it's five lights is what would take. We were actually, you know, thinking about doing the whole, you know, concrete base and sonotube type deal with the bolts, but Mid-State said they could do direct bury and hook into their power. Again, we just pay the monthly fee. Now it'll be more than the, well, not too bad, but.
Scott and I walked at yesterday, and we think that there's a way that we can make that relatively inexpensive, because I mean, like you say, we're going to contribute $12.50 per light, and I don't know if you want
to. Yeah, the $12.50 doesn't include the conduit from their power supply to the light, though. So either we can do that ourselves in house, or we can, because their crews.
Yeah, we would contract that out, so. We would save some cost if Scott was able to do it in-house rather than trying to contract it out and charge the city for it.
Well, when you say in-house, how in-house are you talking?
We'd have about 60 feet of trench for each light.
Well, the trench, we can't do the electrical work.
No, we do the conduit.
Yeah, we do the electrical work.
We bury the conduit and then come wire.
So you can do a trench, lay the conduit, and Mid-State can do the wiring, and away you go.
Yeah. Are these mostly going to be short little runs just to get it?
Yeah, just, you know, we have a secondary junction cabinet 60 feet away from every intersection.
Yeah, we can probably do that part of it. But there will be five lights in Huntington Meadows, so if you figure five, a couple out here is seven, Crescent Creek, two more is nine, and then two or three more right at the Senior Center and a couple there. So we'll end up with 10 or 12, say 12. 13 lights. You had 18 on your list. Like I say, actually, probably 75% of these were on your list. Because like what you did with Finley, you had one here, and then you skipped a block, and you stuck one here. And again, it's not the sidewalks. What I'm trying to do is, normally, the city's going to light a street. You're lighting a street. You're lighting a, for a reason. And what you did is, you picked, well, nothing wrong, but you picked one here. Then you skip a couple blocks and you stick one here. Well, that doesn't give enough light to really solve any issue if you're out.
Well, but to answer your question, we were told we had budgeted for, what, 18, but we can select six right now to get put in, and it's been a year and they haven't been put in. And we went through this discussion earlier, I understand. So, you know, we only do what we have money for.
Yeah.
So. So, I think we as a Public Works Committee were kind of led astray.
And that was budgeted up to the June 30th this year.
Yes.
And then next year we have another eight lights to put in.
Correct.
So now we're not going to do that probably.
Well, you're going to get
all last year.
We're going to get that more in reality with what Rick's proposing. Leastwise, I think we're going to get something done.
So we're going to go ahead and install this one as a sample on one of four intersections that we can do, and it'll be done this week.
Okay.
So then we'll have a sample of what it's going to look like. Probably we'll end up going with a little higher wattage than this. This will probably be what we'll use for pedestrian walkways and things like that. But anyway, we have, is it okay to talk about that now? So the four locations that we could easily have this on this week is Hinkle Way, Evans Way, Bonnie Lane, or Preble Way. So that's a slam dunk. I can have this installed within a half an hour of the lineman showing up at the pole. So
are you talking inside in Huntington Meadows?
No, this is on Finley View Road.
Oh, with the arm. This is the one.
Yeah.
I pick one. I mean, it's a test.
It's a test. If you guys have a recommendation of which of those four you'd
like, you're going to have all the rest of them. We're going to be up in a month anyway. So.
Well, we'll have to order it once we see what it looks like. We'll have to order the lights and as soon as they arrive, it'll be a piece of cake to get them installed.
And I put it down by the park.
Hinkle?
That's probably used as much as anything.
That way, again, safety. You got kids at the park. I mean, again, you just picking one out.
So I think that's
Hinkle.
Hinkle is right across from Walling. Mm-hmm. So that's okay.
So you'll be Finley View and Hinkle. And that's the side of the sidewalks there.
And I think we, as Public Works Committee members, need to make a point to go look at that once it's up and see what we think. And preferably
after
when it's dark.
You're right about
that. That's our street, Bill. We'll be checking that one out.
Can't miss it.
Okay, any more questions? We're down to item 6 in the sidewalk, the maintenance.
Did we kind of discuss, we haven't got to this yet.
Road conditions?
Oh.
The road, that's something that was on there.
Yeah, that's the, from Crescent Creek. Well, this was just here, right? I didn't have that on, but you can talk about that. This all came.
Well, I was going to mention, when you go down Finley Butte and you turn right on Wheeler, okay? You turn right, which is by the Little Lake Park.
Yeah.
That whole place has been resurfaced. Blacktopped, all the way down to where nobody lives. All the whole area must be a mile or half miles worth of brand new blacktop, and there's no one lives there. There's no houses there.
They're trying to finalize their plat that expired how many years ago?
Five. It's just brand new, and it looks like a waste of blacktop, a mile's worth of really nice asphalt where they could have used it at a place that needs it, where people live.
Well, number one, they just painted the asphalt. It's paint.
Seal coat.
Well, they filled it in and then painted over it.
Yeah. Right. And it's for, it's good, that for developer paint. Paid for their zone.
The developer paid for it.
Yeah.
The city or county didn't do it.
Yeah, it wasn't a city or county funded thing. It was the developer went in and put in all the infrastructure and then went bankrupt.
Okay.
This just proved a point that I've said for, 25 years now. You can take gray rock or old asphalt, paint it, and the perception is somebody came in and laid asphalt down and it's a new road. And all they did was crack seal it and seal coat.
Cool, let's do it.
Well, we've done this on emulsion chip seal roads to get the perception away from the public that it's a gravel road. And it's a cheap fix. I'm going through that right now with Ponderosa Pines.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No. So sidewalks. Mm-hmm. Scott went. They walked the Huntington and took pictures of. Mm-hmm. Did you get a report on what you saw there?
There's two or three sections along Huntington in front of it's a real estate or rental property management business,
mm-hmm.
and then up by the Second Street by where you play horseshoes at Frontier Days. There's another spot where the sidewalk's buckled up. And then over here on Wheeler, where the sidewalk got hooked and drug away by the snow plow, and that's the areas that we're looking at getting some concrete. We'll peel out the concrete, or cut it, make a section ready, and then hire somebody to come pull some sidewalks.
I got a new one for you.
Another one?
This just happened.
Okay.
It's on Wheeler. It's on Wheeler, just north of Mack Court. One of the Russells, Vic Russell's units went over the sidewalk next to the sewer, the round thing where the sewer goes in, and it's all lifted up.
Okay, I'll get a picture of that one.
In the last week. It's a new one.
But yeah, that's...
Too heavy of equipment going over the sidewalk, too close to the sewer.
Well, they're not supposed to be going over the sidewalk.
Right, and did he report it to his employer? Probably not.
That's a nice mess. The lid's ready to go down into the...
Okay, I'll get over there when we're done here.
Jeez.
Okay.
So those sidewalks, so they're gonna dig them out, and then we'll repair some of the sidewalk. It goes back to my discussion earlier about we need to repair the existing sidewalks, make sure that we can stay up on those, and that's important. Then I took a bunch of photos, you probably noticed it, but the one thing I did notice when I was over there looking at your new painted road subdivision, there are baby pine trees all over in these bioswales, and they're right up next to this, you know, and some of them are getting, you know, this big around, and some are just, and you know, you can't have trees growing in there for obvious reasons. The branches come out over the sidewalk, you only have a 5-foot sidewalk, and then the bushes are there. So if you get over in that Wheeler area, that part of town, and I have been over into some of the other places, but the sidewalks are basically, you've got so many trees and bushes, they're all low. But you barely can get down the middle of them. So if you think about it, I mean, there were tons of trees. I mean, we're not talking, this is not just a 5-minute job to go out and snip 10 trees. They're everywhere. You know, they're 6 inches, 8 inches. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's probably never been touched since they were poured. So these bioswales are all gonna need cleaning. They're gonna weed and taking them out. So it's gonna require some work, and Scott and I were talking about maybe you start in one. I was thinking about the jail crew, and then also maybe we start in an area. It's just, you have to take these things in bites, and all of this is, you just can't, the whole town. You know, it's taken you years. These were built before the city in some cases, so most cases. So it's taken you decades to get here, and it will take us a long time, but the fact we're starting to work on. So we're gonna go through and start clearing these things out of the weeds. And then we talked about having it sprayed to get the bushes and some of that stuff out.
Not only the jail crew, but you got a forestry class at the high school that might be interested in something like that as well as a project to help them out.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind.
Yeah.
And I have a suggestion because I believe that Huntington Meadows, and I wish I could check with Ed, they've instituted a bunch of CCNRs. My property has to be kept weed free in the swales and all sidewalk areas up against the fences or whatever. Can we implement that in other subdivisions too, Wheeler Ranch? And
well, we don't need a covenant on this, all public property. There's no, we don't need a covenant.
Who's going
to
be the...
So I don't have to do my swales anymore?
No. Who's going to be the cop on the CCNRs? That's your problem.
The subdivisions will be.
Who? The subdivision. You're part of the subdivision. Are you the cop?
Well,
that's what I'm getting
Huntington at. Huntington Meadows is being the cop at their subdivision. Crescent Creek is the cop.
But see,
cop
it takes some people of the subdivision to be the cop and the enforcer. That's what I'm getting at.
Who's going to make you do it?
Exactly.
We can't institute an ordinance.
As far as I mean, you're getting the trees that are growing into the bioswales. Those just need to be taken out. You know, you're just getting into weeds in general, and that's a little bit of a different discussion. But most subdivisions and most the ordinances that already have been adopted would require that the person takes. If you have a grass strip in front of, in a lot of cities, you know, instead of bioswales, you have grass 3 feet.
Well, the reason I ask is I enforce that with my property management properties.
Well, you should.
So.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I'm not out of line, because I'm just saying it has to be done.
Yeah, and what you'll find is, like Huntington Meadows is an example, that's probably of the subdivisions with the little trees growing up, it's pretty non-existent for other issues that cause other problems. So that's one that when you do something else that's not good, it gets rid of this issue. So it depends what it is you were saying, the abandoned subdivisions a little bit, the ones where they've paved roads, like in the backside of Huntington Meadows, or this one, no one ever lived there. So when someone lives there, they tend to take, and then I'll notice these are on the side streets. If it's in front of your house, the baby trees have been removed. You can mow your lawn and you're going in and out of the house. It's then on a corner, you got a wood fence, and there's no one wants to walk around and take do anything on the side street. So it's really specific to every little spot. But they do need, all over in that area, the trees need cut, and we need to get some of the vegetation out of these things that hasn't been done. And then we'll go sweep those sidewalks. The gravel is up on the sidewalks. You know, they've never been. Again, if it's a nice neighbor, someone that takes care of their place, they've swept their sidewalk. But then you get over on, like, you take it, Finley Butte, most of those are side yards. Mm-hmm. No one's going down Finley Butte and worrying about it. They might in front of their house, but not, you know, because none of those houses face Finley Butte in part of the cases. So we'll start sweeping. Scott, it's like we got to get weed eaters and things. And, you know, we were talking the other day about some of the small equipment that the city needs to start taking care of some of these areas.
Yeah, the mayor doesn't like our weed eater.
No.
He's a jump.
I mean, it's a huge task when you look at all the sidewalks, but like we were saying, if we just pick a block this week, we take care of that, then there's one less.
You just got to start somewhere.
And next week we can get the next one.
Then, we could have a little discussion and with these guys here, and then we'll move into Joe's on the TSP. But on all this goes with this, when I was over there, and I will show you pictures and send you pictures, I'm very concerned that that we end up at some point with a road standard in these subdivisions. Mm-hmm. That I'm not sure that we have. The county, you know, all these subdivisions were built and started with the county. And then the city might have inherited the second phase, but it was just continuing what was already done. Our standards have been what the county approved, you know, and I don't know how much thought went into that. I don't know if, you know, counties build different kinds of roads. They're not really in the subdivision business. And I think if we went and did a tour, if we get done early enough, we could parade over and look at a couple places, because we're going to be done early. But what I noticed when I walked all a bunch of streets last week, and I was out with my camera, and when you start doing that, it's amazing what you see. And this, what I call it, it seems to be the Lapine template that all the subdivisions are built. So therefore, it must have been a county thing, or that the first developer wanted to do it this way, and everyone's bought into it. But it's the paved road, then the bioswale, then the sidewalk. And they're all the same, you know, normally a sidewalk's up above a curb. That then keeps some things off of it and everything else. It's harder to drive up on it and go over it. You know, there's a whole list of things. By having all, then the other thing is everything settles. Wherever there's a little extra water, of course it sits there, and then it freezes and thaws and freezes and thaws because it's sitting on them. But these bioswales are wide enough that they're not, you know, if you get one this deep, people don't park in them. When they're only this deep, like these are, they'll park in. And so what happens every time you drive a car off the edge of the pavement?
You move material.
The pavement is breaking off. When you go over here, you will find the pavement is breaking off all over. And then it moves in. It takes 3 inches. And then it moves 3 inches. Well, these streets are all the public's expense after they're originally built. So if these subdivisions that aren't that old, they basically, you need to go in at this point, tear up the whole street and start over. You have absolutely no financial capacity to do that. Absolutely not. You can't prioritize it enough. And I think that the subdivision developers have been able to build here cheaper than you should have ever allowed them. And no one looked out at the long-term effect. This one little cul-de-sac over there that's got the duplexes on them, mm-hmm. What's that called? With that street? Well, it's full of like condo duplexes.
Cassidy or Pete?
No, not in your subdivision.
Oh, okay.
Jack Pine Estates.
Oh, right by Midstate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Across the street from Midstate.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, if we go over there and you go into that street, that's a rental street, more mm-hmm. rental properties. Mm-hmm. I can go a block over and the nice gentleman on the corner with his two little kids are out there hammering, take photos of his place. He has a nice fence. He's taking care of everything. His bioswell is gravel. He parks two cars. He's got a husband and a wife. They park him in the driveway or one car in the garage. There is none of this. His pavement is great. You then go over onto, say, this street, and that street is a total disaster. And five cars were parked into the bioswales when I was down there. Pickup trucks. I'm out taking photos. A kid comes out, talks to me. Oh, I'm just visiting my buddy. What are you doing taking pictures? I explained to him. He's got his big Ford lifted up in the air, the tires half on the asphalt, and then inside the bioswell is all chunks of asphalt. And so it's an income level of the subdivision is rentals versus home ownership, and then this no, so you build this to where the bioswells are not a parking spot. So this design that's been approved here is a bioswale that is not designed for parking. But the reality is, guess what?
They're parking.
They're gonna use it as parking. You could put, so far no one's done anything, but you could put up no parking signs. You literally could tow cars out of there. But to me, it's a flawed design.
But see, that comes down to a city setting up a special or a significant ordinance. And maybe you've got to go out and dig that bioswale out so they can't park in it, and we can do that in-house. And that becomes an issue that it's going to take a while to maintain or to make and maintain, but that's one solution.
Yes, sir. Yeah, no, I think that it's one of those things down the road a person can look at. What do we, it's all helping bring these neighborhoods back up.
Yep.
But, you know, tough love, those who are going to be subject to it will not be happy.
Can't please everybody.
So, just, you know, and it's nothing we're starting tomorrow, but I'm trying, again, it's part of this, rather than race off and build a bunch of new things, I'm trying to get people to think about the things we've already built, sidewalks we've already built, subdivisions we've already built. We need to light up the ones we got. We need to clear the sidewalks we've got. We need to fix the ones that are up like this, and so on. And then we need to establish rules that will make this all work. And you have to educate people. And so that, you know, Huntington Meadows, half of them have filled in the bioswell. My guess is a lot of the very adamant people who don't like the kid down the street from the homeowner association, half of them have probably filled in their bioswell. Now they're gonna think, be tough on this and tough on that and tough on that. Wait till you look them in the eye and say, we're digging out your bioswell. And they're gonna say, oh, well now, wait a second. But I do believe I was just talking to Joe. I mean, I think it's a bad design. And I don't know if there's a better one, but I can think of some off the top of my head that would do what it is you're doing. And then when you get down to the cul-de-sac in this little subdivision, where, because they have a roll-up curb, and then the curb and sidewalk, and the asphalt goes up to the curb, it's basically just traditional wear and tear. So you come down, and then it does the bulb. The bulb is curb tight with the asphalt. It doesn't have that edge. And so most of those subdivisions over there have all been done this way.
It's like when I worked for Lane County, we had a lot of private areas that were just like you're talking about. If they were a county-approved cul-de-sac. They had 90-degree corners on the water bar area and the curb. They didn't have a rolled curb. But the private industry puts a rolled curb in as a convenience for the homeowner to do whatever they need there. Yeah. It's kind of a city ordinance as to how you allow things to be built.
Well, we have to build a standard.
Yeah.
But the TSP doesn't do that, I guess, and I don't know. I don't know where, if we have a standard.
Well, but you can develop one.
Oh, no.
And we need to.
So that's what I'm talking about. We need, Marlo, we need to have a standard.
Yep.
We need to come up with one, and it needs to be done this year so that we have a standard that developers have to follow. But it's got to work here for water, because you're not building a piped storm drain system. I will talk to you, I guess. But I think it's actually, if you go start looking at these, you will see you have more maintenance costs than we will ever pay for. Impossible.
And it's going to be a little time consuming to go back and retro any of these old areas. But it can be done.
Well, it can be done. It's the money will never be there.
Exactly.
Really. I mean, we take in $70,000 a year in ODOT money is what we take in. Now we're going to spend $2,000 or $3,000 a year lighting up just the street lights we just talked about. We spend $10,000 to $15,000 a year snow plowing. You start taking all of these things off, and you will have a hard time probably having 30, and we spend $10,000 grading cable every year. $10,000 out of 70. So your amount of money that you will have, this is called discretionary, is literally $30,000-$40,000 a year. A $100,000 project is a 2 to 3 year savings if you use just ODOT money. Your money that's coming in from vehicle registration from DMV.
But as you add little projects, your discretionary funds begin to diminish.
Yes. So I think people really need a reality check on that. So when you have a road, that cul-de-sac could cost $100,000 to go in and fix it. You'd have to put 100% of your money for 3 years into that one little cul-de-sac. That's how serious you should take it with these developers. And now the developers will go to the realtors. I can tell you exactly how this plays out. You come up with a tougher standard, they're gonna run to the chamber, and they're gonna run to the realtors, and the realtors will run to the chamber. And they're gonna say, you know, your standards are too high, we can't afford to build in Lamont. Then the chamber runs to the council. The council will say, God, we're being anti-growth, and we're not gonna grow. Then they get all, you know, everyone gets all worrisome of that.
Well, we have to persevere, and we have to be strong, and these are just going to be our standards.
But yes. You need somebody like me to come in and help educate people like this. I mean, I worked in this industry for 15 years in the storm sewer part. We didn't deal so much with bioswales as we did catch basins and underground lines to get rid of stuff. But it went into ditches and some distant bioswales. You've got to educate these people. And if you don't start educating the people, you're going to have major problems, and they're going to snowball from now on.
Yeah, and the thing is, you want to make sure the developers are covering the cost of this. Or, you know, buy as much time as you can with a good base, you know, right amount of asphalt with the systems that will make it last, so that you can, and then you can come in and do a Crescent Creek. You can just come in and you can do some crack sealing, and then you come in and some of you can do a chip seal over it, which you can get a lot more miles out of a chip seal. So, you know, these were county standards. None of these were city approved, but they're here. And that's why when someone says, well, the county, if you let the county give you those roads,
break the city.
It not, you know, that comes up. You hear that? When's the city, and I hear it even from some of my council, when's the city taking over some of the roads? It should be never.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, with a $1.90 tax?
There's only one way it should happen. If you set the standards, then the county brings them up to city standards, then you can take them over.
That's correct.
Otherwise, okay. You don't take them over.
That's correct. And even then, you want to look at how many miles.
Exactly. But, because you have maintenance on those down the road.
Yeah. So, well, fortunately, the city only has, what's it say on there? How many miles of streets, Joe, in the bottom right? It says how many of RPA. So we only got like 2 miles.
2.79.
So we only have 2.7 miles that's actually city responsibility right now. We can manage that. But if you made it 15, it's 20. We are mosquito spraying 31 miles.
Me too. I need to go check.
So we mosquito spray 31 miles, but the city actually only has 2.7. Basically under 3 miles of road. That we can manage.
Here's a good example of educating the people about the different array of roads, because you got private roads, you got county roads, and you got city roads.
Right.
And okay. Maybe somebody needs to educate city council on this as well.
So that's it on that. On the, you know.
Okay.
Ready to move on?
Okay.
Kathy's not.
I'm sorry. I've got a doctor appointment, but while y'all are talking about the planning, I don't know, maybe you've already talked about it, but last year at one of the city council meetings, we had an older gentleman fall out here because the sidewalk drops off and it was snowy and he took a base dive into it. So I'm hoping that during some of this planning, we can either curve that sidewalk around to give you more space to walk, or we need to put a bush or a rock or something there so they aren't falling off that corner. It's about a, I don't know, 2-3 inch drop off, but it was just enough to throw him off balance.
Is that into the parking lot or into the shrubbery?
Right here.
Okay, we'll look at that.
Yeah.
Which you're saying, I have a feeling you're inside the, is we could fill the dirt.
Anything, I
think. I see what you're saying.
Okay. You know.
Yeah, it should be it.
But they cut across because the bushes are there, and I think they assume that the sidewalk is fanned out,
yeah,
and it's not. So, yeah. I mean, we were lucky with him, yeah. But...
Good point.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Thank you.
That's all right.
Great for me?
Yeah.
All right. Kind of on that same vein, we want to make sure that the standards we have are appropriate for developers coming in. And one of the ways we do this in the TSP is we have these different goals and policies. And we want to be clear for new developers as they're looking at coming in with a subdivision, that they're looking at their impacts appropriately. They're not putting a McDonald's in, ignoring the kids crossing the street. So these are some of the supporting policies and codes we've got right now drafted up that we're recommending be part of the TSP. And I don't want to go through these in a lot of detail. These get pretty... But I think if you guys have time later on to look at these policies that we're recommending, make your own changes, mark them up, help us to figure out what else we might need on this. But it's really making sure that as development comes in, they do the right thing, they study the right things, the city has the ability to require the right improvements as a result. And so I've got traffic study requirements, which, you know, if you build a building, what do you have to look at? What do you have to study? There's some stuff on site distance, there's a discussion of access, where you can put your driveways so that you're not, you know, ruining the roads for everybody else because you're having trucks backing onto the public streets from your property. There's some information on site distance, on connectivity requirements, on connecting roads through your property. So take a look at this. There's probably some more sections that are going to get added to this. But let's figure out how to wordsmith it and get it right. Other than that, we're working pretty hard on getting all of our different technical memorandums that we've gone through, taking the feedback we heard from you guys, and we're trying to combine this overall draft TSP. So right now I think it's like 108 pages of text and figures and tables, and we're trying to get everything numbered correctly and make sure we get the comments addressed that came up. But I think by the end of this month we should have that draft for you guys to take a look at too. So it's not too far from the horizon. Any questions?
This is the one you emailed to us?
Yes, that is.
Okay.
Matt would be here, but Matt just had his baby.
If we have some comments, we can email them back to you then?
Yeah, we'll give them to Rick or whatever's easiest for you.
Okay.
No problem. Do you guys have my email address?
Is it on, well, we got email
address? Yeah, no reply on
it. Oh, no reply. Oh.
Okay. Rick, I don't know if you got a good email list that you could just send to my...
Well, she's got the email list.
Oh, okay. Guys, but okay.
So I have your email, Joe.
Okay, you don't have it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I can give it to you.
Okay. Yeah, this is good. I mean, there's all kinds of ink. Certainly, I don't know when it says, you know, that it should be 200-day trips. I don't... Someone said, well, it should be 175. Hell, I don't know. So, yeah, I'd have to defer to them on that stuff.
Sure.
But I think it's... What it's talking about is you do start to say, if you're going to build something that creates this many trips, you have to, you know, look at some things where you put driveways. I noticed you can't have two driveways. You know, we start talking about improving cable. Do you realize, because everyone wants two driveways, that doubles the cost of things? It, for when you're out cleaning out ditches, culverts, all those things, and right now there are no culverts, but if you're ever going to pave a road, if you're going to start bringing it up to a wider road with a standard, most counties do not allow, they're not going to allow you to have, now those are already there, so, but you don't get two driveways.
Especially in new ones.
Yes.
Well, especially because, I mean, you think about your sidewalks and your bicycle lanes, and those driveways are conflict points. So it's trying to minimize those.
Just leave this spot the house and put another driveway in, and you went over it, and that would cause you.
Where?
That's what I'm telling you, this new crack. Yeah.
They can't have two driveways over in that subdivision. Those are eight.
Put one in right off of
the this becomes a standard.
Well, we will look at that. We'll shut right off.
You'll see the fence that she put in so she can put her RV in.
No, you can't. If they go up over the curb once and bring it in,
And you can always make your exceptions. If you've got your large grocery stores and you want two driveways for circulation, those are different.
Well, that's different than a household as opposed to commercial.
Right.
But even there, you're going to get to where you have more. I see you have crossover easements and things.
Exactly.
You're going to share driveways. Just like when you go into ShopSmart, you go over to where the bank used to be. You know, you don't have everybody get their own.
And it's looking as you come in, how can you dedicate an access easement so that when the property next to you does redevelop, you can connect to them as well and let them use your driveway. So it's really forcing people to share their access points. And the goal is, I think, for 97, for Huntington Road, really to reduce that number of driveways that we've got, define them, make them narrower, make them shared, fewer, farther between.
I like your idea on site concerns because at Lane County, they got free driveway permits, but if you didn't have adequate site distance in the rural area, you didn't get a permit.
That's right.
You know, you've got to consider that stuff as to where... The shrubbery you've got, where it's at.
Monument sign, your utilities.
Yeah, you got a lot of things that are out there. I mean, it becomes too busy sometimes.
It does. Well, I was driving into town today, and the school flashers are on. You can't even see them. You don't even notice that they're on because there's so many signs and stuff everywhere there. It's too distracting.
They're way off the road.
They're way off the road. They're 20 feet, 30 feet away.
And they need a different luminary setup to attract attention.
Right.
When the cop used to park there in the morning, everybody knew the light was on.
The lady police office.
Yeah, take a look at these, and if there's other things, if there's changes to this, just mark it up and get it to me, and we'll take a look and get it fixed.
Because we're not stopping.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks.
Thank you. You've got this Atlanta that the county is going to work on Crescent Creek to do some crack sealing there and other places.
So is most of the cracking on the county's part, or is it?
I'm not sure about whose part. I haven't taken a map to go look at. But they're going to do it all, and then we're going to pay for our part of it. Through actual trade and snow plowing that we do, so we don't have to trade money, but that's the plan. So they will do ours. Did you meet with ODOT on Ash and Eaton signs?
Yeah, it's in their schedule.
So ODOT's going to, why don't you explain to me what's going to happen with that?
We're working with ODOT. They're getting us, it's on their schedule to do it, but they're getting us a cost estimate. We should have that Friday so we know how much it's going to cost, but they are They're their signs and their right of way. We bought the signs already, but it's their posts. They should be the ones missing. That way it's to their standard and in their specifications and the location they want.
It's a long sign.
And it's a big old sign. Mm-hmm. And so we'll have the price Friday, but it's in their schedule. It's not going to happen next week. But
what is this for? Ashton Eaton signs.
Oh, Ashton.
See, I've got some neighbors that heard about when he was here and we made the big to-do, it was in the Eagle and everything. And now they're saying, where's the signs? Well, your city manager said it was going to happen.
There.
Now it's not. I mean, the citizens are wanting to know why it hasn't happened.
Yeah, just always remember when any project we do, it's the discussion stage, you have a thing, but there's this far right side here needs to be part of it all, and you should never approve anything here. You use this Ashton Eaton, I think it's a good template story, that good idea, we've figured out what we're going to do, we know how many, we order, we do it, we're going to do it, but then who, how, and mm-hmm, when, mm-hmm. That should be all part of
exactly.
That.
And a timeline.
Yes.
Yes. That's part of the who, what, when, where, why.
And if you can't get there, don't do the rest.
Right.
There you go.
And you don't even allow the cutting of the cake until you've figured all that out. Because in this case, you think about it, you've actually renamed a street. That's people's mail, their envelopes, their address. Mm-hmm. How do they know what they're supposed to use? You know, mm-hmm. And so you have to really, that just, you know, we kind of did the fun part of it and then let the ball drop. So I've been on him about getting that done.
Thank you.
And so we will get it up and that'll be done. Okay. So,
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to throw something at you and your council, not literally. Whoever you select for a new person in that position, I think we need to inform them of the who, what, where, when, why policy. To me, it's an unwritten policy that everybody should follow. Don't make promises that we can't fulfill. And I think you were already thinking of that. I just wanted to make you aware of it.
It's an important aspect to doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have the front and the end.
Yes.
And the best way I've heard it described is Rick's comment about don't cut the cake.
There you go.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
And it is, especially for this group.
Right.
The best example is this Ashton Eaton. Always remember that.
You guys, you know, some of you say, well, what? Well, you know, we don't feel like we do anything. Well, you did. If you think about it, you're our eyes and ears in the community, and you're our advocate. So every meeting, you won't have something to vote on to approve. But don't go away thinking then we need people out there who understand more about a subdivision, who can talk about, gosh, this is what we need and why. So that's the role you play. You laid out you wanted street lights. Well, we're going to get some. You know, you wanted some sidewalks, so we're going to work on some. So now for the next 2 or 3 months, you probably won't have anything because we're going to spend that time building and doing the things that you approved last year.
Sure.
So we could, you know.
That's good for the community because now they're going to see some action of what's been proposed in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One good thing by not doing the things in the past, you save up the money so we can do them. Because remember, you only got, you know. And the city did, in our budget that we're approving tomorrow night, we did transfer $80,000 of general fund money. I put in when I proposed the budget was $80,000, and the budget committee supported that, thinking that's a top priority for the city because we don't do fire and police because that's handled by districts. So we did actually put $80,000 of general fund money into public works, which is actually a pretty good chunk.
Yeah.
A lot of cities don't put any in. Now they're creative in other ways. They do tax $5 fee on a water bill and just, you know, all kinds of things. But we did, you know, general fund actually of $80,000. So hopefully that will continue. And I think it should be, but every year that will be debated by the budget committee.
Okay.
Item 7, meeting time.
Some people had suggested maybe we go back to 10 so that you got an hour of work before. hour, 2 to 4 to 3 here. Yeah, we do not need 3 hours for these.
No.
9 to noon. And so if you guys want to vote, if that's, it doesn't matter to me if it's 9 to 11 or 10 to noon or whatever.
I'm flexible.
It does to me. I got a meeting that I'm supposed to be at right now that I can't be there at. And of course, last month I didn't make it here because I was at the meeting, and so I came to 10 because that's as soon as I could get out of it. But for me, I got a conflict and I got to try and resolve it. So,
what works best for you?
10 works best.
Okay.
And 10 works best for me because I need to go in and check on things before I can come over here. So.
It's fine with me.
No problem. Make a motion.
It's fine with me.
And yeah. Set it wherever you'd like it.
I move that we change the meeting time to 10 a.m. till noon.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Is a killer for me, too.
You're up early.
Not.
Then the next item, Mr. Chairman, just. If we could, you may, I think you could cancel me, but I think over the next 2 months you could cancel a couple of meetings. However, we may end up having one, we need a presentation or something, or maybe a joint with the council or something like that. Leave it flexible, because we're actually out doing the projects. It'll take, these guys won't have any reports to come back with, on this. In a month, they won't have one yet, so I'm thinking of, we could kind of wing it a little, because you have to make the presentations, right?
A public and to this committee, and I think council's part of that too.
So then maybe we could do it to where we do the TSP, and maybe he would have something by then, and whatever, rather than to say it will be the second Tuesday at 10 o'clock in 2 weeks, and that's just a few days after the 4th of July weekend, and yeah. So you might want to,
If we can't, if we have a special meeting, I can't guarantee I'm going to be here. For the simple fact, my driving schedule with the breeze is different every week.
Sure.
I know a month in advance, 2 weeks in advance, what my July meeting or schedule is going to be.
Do you know when were you thinking for?
I was thinking sometime in July, but it would have to be in the evening because
that works best for me.
Yeah, with the public, we can't do it during the day.
Yeah.
So it could be, it's more if you were there, we'd have a meeting, but it's there to listen to presentations.
That'd be fun.
So I don't know, I guess, what's your thoughts on it? When we can say that we're going to be here, it's fine.
We'll do the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say that, why don't we just skip July and look at August for meeting, the next meeting.
Okay.
Well, what we did on the Planning Commission, we canceled July and August altogether, but then we left it up to Patty. In case something came up, she would notify us.
There you go.
We'd have a meeting. Yeah. We could do the same thing with this. We could just cancel those 2 months.
Yeah. I'd send out, we check and see, if it's something we need. We would, and we'd probably try to do it on a Tuesday and try to do it at 10 o'clock, that kind of thing. But it's nice sometimes to, we're out doing the projects you did, and we'll keep you updated, but we wouldn't necessarily have to.
Okay.
Up to me.
Is it in a formal setting?
Linda, can I talk to you after our meeting?
Absolutely.
Do we need to make a motion on that, or just
take a consensus?
So if we need a motion, I would so move that we cancel July and August.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Okay, we'll let you know what we need.
Okay.
Other issues and concerns.
I have an issue and concern, and probably I can speak on behalf of the public as well as a member of this council. My water bill is astronomical. I water once a day, and if I don't water once a day, my grass dies. My usage in May was 7,000. My usage in June was 14,000. I get a next door neighbor who waters 2 hours every day, washes every day. 3 people live there. His was 2,000. Mine was 14,000. I'm sorry, I said 12. 14,000 usage. I went over $20.80, and it happens every month.
Doug Sisk next to me used 10,000. Ken Kendall down the street, there's only two of them in that house. He has a little bit of patch of grass out in the front. He went over February, March, April, even in the wintertime going over. Now, I'm not saying you're, my thing is, the person who built the place, Ron McMasters, by the way, is in Oregon State Prison. Mm-hmm. He's the developer of Wheeler Ranch. And who knows what they put in the ground. If I'm using 14,000 and my next door neighbor waters 3 hours or 2 hours a day, every day, and he gets 2,000, there's something wrong. And I don't know,
Have you had your meter, have you had them come out? And
I don't know if I think they have, but what I'm thinking of, McMasters was living next door to me, and I wouldn't doubt that he put a line in, he's in prison, put a line in, above mine and or after mine and over to his, so that I'm paying half of his. I don't know, but there's something wrong, and so I don't know if they can go along and with an instrument and find out where all the water lines are, and see if there's
somebody
doing something weird.
Scott, would you normally first you go turn the water off his house and see if the meter's spinning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've done a leak check at your house.
Yeah.
We did that a couple months ago.
Well, we did that because it's up. We go over in the winter all the time. It doesn't make sense we can use.
There's no leak. I'm guessing, like you say, there's something up if your neighbor's only using 2,000, that their meter slowed down.
Better check him.
There's only two of them, and they're gone to the coast half the time, where the Willamette Valley. They're gone 3-4 days, 5 days of a month. Visiting their kids, and his was at 10,000. He was over. Something wrong, and that's the nicest looking cul-de-sac in the city of La Pine, by the way.
Yes, it is.
You got people driving around asking if you want to sell your house.
Yeah.
But there's something wrong with the water, I'm telling you.
How much is your monthly water bill?
Oh, here, that's this over to you. This is the one for 14,000.
The 14,000 is gallons, or what is that?
Yeah.
Or is it gallons?
And I got all the neighbors fuming at me over this, and I said, well, I'm using more than you, but there's something wrong. And I think McMasters, who built the house right next to me, tapped into my water supply. Mm-hmm.
Do we do a periodic or so many meter checks a year?
We have, and you can test meters, and it costs about as much as a new meter. And what we'll do is we'll just start, as the registers start failing they come with a 10-year warranty. As they start failing more than a few a month, we're gonna have to start, and this is some of what we have reserves for. What we're starting reserves for is meter replacement. That it'd cost more to buy the parts than it would to buy a new meter.
Gotcha.
Do like that.
But is there any way they can check and see where underneath the ground where the water lines are?
Not if somebody.
I see people spray paint blue all along when they're going to dig and stuff. Is that blue water?
Mm-hmm.
Then someone knows there's a pipe underneath there.
Well, if they're using a plastic pipe with no tracer, it's hard to check that line. If it's a metal pipe,
but if you turn off under your theory, first of all, for you to get charged, this pipe has to be on the other side of the meter. Because your meter's spinning for his free water. Okay, you go shut everything off in your house, and the meter isn't spinning. Therefore, there is no water going to your neighbor. So, if you shut off, because remember, if it's on this side of the meter, it has no impact. It could be free water. So, the reality probably is, and we can check, number one, unless you actually saw the bill, I know how this, it's just human nature. We exaggerate or de-exaggerate depending on what point we're trying to make. So they may say, well, I only use 2,000. Who knows? But
you can check.
That's right. We can check and see. My water bill, and I'm on a district, water district in the city, and I pay $50 to $100 a month. Water is expensive. And, we're going to have to spend $1 million on water rights ahead just to keep enough water rights here. Mm-hmm. You do the math on 600 water customers, and you start dividing it all out. Bill, as much as there isn't going to be $25 a month water, really. just in the broad sense. And the more people use, that rushes us to go spend this $1 million. Mm-hmm. So conservation, and by having that usage to where people, it's a tough thing. Now, obviously, you shouldn't be paying for other people's water and if you have a leak and if the meter isn't working. But beyond that, we can't lower the water rates.
So shut everything off and see if your meter's still running.
Well, he said he did that.
And we watched it for a while that day.
Yeah.
The water still has something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll check and do some of that and see. Okay. We can pull up the usage on that subdivision just to see if there's something.
Cool. So I'm going to roll the next three into one. Public, staff, and committee member comments.
Well, I'm pleased to hear we're beginning to see some things happen that we've passed in the past now. And I don't mind not passing things in the future when we see what I'm going to term some progress. Mm-hmm. Because I'm with Bill there for a long time. It seemed like we did a lot of things and nothing was getting done. And when you have people in the community coming around saying, we hear you did this, when's it going to take place and stuff, it's hard to answer them with a justification. So, thank you.
And I like the comment about the pedestrian crossing going in there.
Yes.
On William Voss and 97. That I just the other day I saw a fellow at 7 o'clock in the morning trying to cross there, and this is when the lights were blinking. 3 18-wheelers in a row. They're all the same make truck, obviously same company. 3 18-wheelers in a row went by there 35 miles an hour, didn't go down to go to 20, and he was.
Yeah. See.
What
out?
What
out?
What the cost of it per month?
I know it was him.